And you're using a keyboard and mouse for this, not a controller,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Although Atrocious at one point said, I have to charge my controller. And me and John were like, what the fuck? We almost kicked him off the team, dude.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the not-so-PC PC gaming podcast. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Emilio. Dude, if you do something 500 times, you're going to flub it sometimes.
Well, it was late into it, and I realized, oh, man, I got to say the intro, and I got to get my finger on the button because I was adjusting my headset or my headphones.
Oh, gotcha.
As the intro was playing. Yeah.
How's it going, man?
It's going all right, man. This wasn't a fantastic week for me, gaming or otherwise, so, you know, it's... it's all right.
Was this your super busy week that you were going to have, and then next week things are going to lighten up?
Yeah, I'll be officially done with work this Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
Wednesday's going to be a busy day for me, but it's basically just I'm going to have to be at work doing a bunch of stuff, and then boom, everything's over. But yeah, it'll be all over. I've got the bulk of the work done. I'm feeling pretty good. But also on the same hand, like the games that I played this week, I just wasn't that happy about.
It could be, you know, I always say this, especially with reviewers and stuff. I would imagine a good reviewer takes this into account, but like I've definitely watched movies and not liked them, and it totally could have been my state of mind at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a super stressed week and then you're kind of forced to play video games, you know, you're not playing them for enjoyment. You're playing them for the podcast. And then it feels like work, and you're probably not going to like it.
That's what this week felt like to me. It felt like work. It felt like games that I had to play.
Yeah.
Kind of. And I don't know. That's never a good place to be in. It might all be because I've started reading a book. I finished The Exorcist in like 3 days, man. I tore right through that book. And then I was like, you know what? It's been a while since... I usually do like one story book and then one
nonfiction.
Like nonfiction type of book. So right now I'm reading a book called Gamer Nation, and it came out in 2018. I'll bring it up here. It didn't get very good reviews. It's and I'm kind of wondering why. I think because this kind of takes it talks about a lot of stuff, but it kind of takes the side of, are games so great? Or like, are games really that great? You know, and it kind of, I don't know, takes them down a peg or something. So maybe it's because of that. And I don't know. As I get older, that's kind of like the opinion that I have about a lot of games anyway, or just gaming in general.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of it's a waste of time, right? But we're having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a good time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the book, and I'm only like 40 pages into the book, so I'll talk more about it next week when I've read more. But it really starts out saying... you know, let's define play and let's define game. And why do people play? Like, why is that a necessity that people do? And it's like, if you look at animals, lower intelligence animals like insects or bees or, you know, bugs, they don't play.
Yeah.
Earthworms don't play. But when you start going up like to a cat, they start to play. Dogs play even more. Chimpanzees play like a whole lot, and then humans are obsessed with play. So it's like the higher the intelligence, the more there's this necessity for play, and there's really no need for it. And usually, like, survival of the fittest would weed out anything unuseful about a species, you know, anything that it doesn't need. So why is it that we continue to play? You know, it's a waste of energy. If you're trying to survive, you know, if you're running around playing a game, you're using up valuable calories.
Maybe it's the playing that made us smart in the first place, because playing is tinkering on a lower level. You know, mm-hmm. You're seeing how.
Yeah, and he brings up that too. So he talks about, well, it's probably a lot of people would assume that, okay, when, you know, hyenas play with each other and they kind of nip at each other and play battle, they're training themselves for actual combat.
Right.
But studies have been done that show no correlation between that, no cause and effect.
They're just assholes, generally.
Hyenas? Yeah, they're not great. I mean, most of what I know about hyenas was from The Lion King, so I don't know, really, but I'm assuming that's correct. But yeah, I mean, it'll be an interesting book either way, and I think a lot of the negative reviews I read about it were people who just flat out don't agree with his opinion about it.
That's probably why it was reviewed poorly.
Yeah.
Maybe his whole take on it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we'll see. I'm just getting into it. But I don't know. Maybe that has jaded me towards gaming in general. But yeah, there it is. This is the book right here. And of course, every book has to have like a really short name and then a super long subtitle. So this is Gamer Nation, The Rise of Modern Gaming and the Compulsion to Play Again. So I don't know. I thought that would be very interesting. Like, I'm really interested about compulsion in gaming. And
certainly a whole lot of that, man. For sure. I definitely have. I just can't. I mean, I guess there is compulsion, but I just don't have the time. Responsibility trumps compulsion these days.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And speaking of responsibility, yep, I got more responsibility. I'm taking my homework with me now. I got thrust into the managerial role about a week and a half ago. And I'm fucking writing schedules now and shit like that, and kind of sucks.
Like doing more clerical work?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess. But you do that at home, not on the field, you know? That's okay. not like something. It's not like I have a desk at work. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking field. Well, it's a bunch of buildings, but yeah. So got even less time now, I guess. I don't know. We'll see how it works out. I can give myself prime schedules. So
do you have
good.
A work email?
No. No, this okay, is all that's literally good, napkin shit.
Yeah. That's good, man, because once they give you the work email, it's like you feel like you're on call all the time.
Yeah. What's up, dude? We got people from all over the world, man. We had a guy earlier from the Netherlands, I think, and now we have somebody from Brazil. Boa! Vai.
We've got that international appeal. Yeah. We've also got Holcomb with a subscription, 5 months. Thank you very much. And thanks, Dubient donating $20. I think our alerts are not working again. Let me see if I can fix that.
Is this a weekly thing?
What's the alerts? Yeah, they alerts? Always stop working. Yeah. And I know I fixed it last week, and apparently I need to fix it again.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that for sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some gaming. My headset broke in the middle of a gaming session last week. You know, fucking Jocko jumps on me all the time, and he yanks them off my head, and I mean, those things were a champ. They were the HyperX something or others. I think I got them for like $120. They did their service for sure. They, you know, they were wired. I switched to wired a while ago, and I definitely think wired's the way to go. Although, so I talked about what I was going to get. I was going to get like a really high end, or I guess audiophiles would say it's mid tier. I was going to go with, what was that?
Sennheiser.
Sennheiser. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say German company. And, but Sam went out, I guess Father Day is coming. So, you know, she didn't know what my plan was, and she's going to keep me from spending a shit ton of money on something. So she went and bought like $100 pair of gaming headphones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. This is what I wanted to get away from. Right. I wanted to get away from gaming, something that said gaming. But pleasantly surprised, man. These are, so I got the SteelSeries 5, Arctis 5. It's a weird word because it's not a real word, fuckers. I like Arctis, that's not a real word, right?
I think it's Arctic.
I don't think it is. Is it?
Is it with an S? You wrote it with an S here. Let me bring it up. But I always thought it was Arctic 5, but I could have just been reading it.
Oh, yeah,
it's quickly.
Arctis.
Oh, yeah, it is Arctis.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's got RGB on the side and stuff, and I'm like, oh boy, here we go. But yeah, the way is that I'm surprised, like it has some stuff that is really nice. So it's got this dial in between the on the cord halfway through, and that dial is not louder or softer. It's your balance between voice and game. So it's really nice because games fluctuate in volume. And mm-hmm. before I was going into the game volumes and fucking with that, going to voice in Discord and fucking with people's voice. And now it just has this dial that just kind of does it all in one little thing, you mm-hmm. know? And the other real thing, the thing I like is the noise cancellation on my mic going to you or other people. Who was I playing with? John. I was playing with John the other last night. And Jocko's barking. You know how loud he is. He was 5 feet away from me. And John says, I can't hear him bark.
Hmm.
That's fucking incredible, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty good because usually that's very... So you're now using the microphone on this headset instead of your Snowball.
I wasn't going to, but now that I... You know, everybody says I sound great. The sound... I've never had an over-the-ear headphone for mm-hmm. gaming. the whole thing is really good. You can tell the build quality is not, you know, top notch.
Yeah.
The buttons feel kind of flimsy or whatever.
They're plasticky.
Yeah. My two concerns on this was the volume button is exactly where your thumb goes to take off the headphones. So I kind of like fuck with the volume button every time. And it's very easily turned. So like you barely touch it, it goes flying. Same thing with the balance adapter that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. It's so easily turned that its own wire rubbing against it just turns the whole thing really quick. So I'm like, what the fuck's going on? That thing's constant. I just need to get it in a place where it's not going to get touched. But yeah, I'm a fan.
It's nice that it has that mic or that separate volume adjustment for the game and the voice, because Windows seems to be making it more and more difficult to get to their volume mixer.
Yeah. So the more I talked to, so Exile was talking about that he loves his sevens. I think when it comes to gaming stuff, at least these guys get it right.
Yeah. Actually, not the mixer. I was thinking of the sound panel, but still, that's a nice feature.
Yeah. It's just one dial. It's the balance between those two
back
things.
Back and forth.
Yep.
Cool. All right. The Artis 5. Yeah, that's funny. I always just read it as Arctic.
Yeah.
Discord certified. Not sure what that means. Clearcast bidirectional microphone. Okay. Stunning detail. DTS headphones version 2.0. RGB illuminated ear cups.
And this is not even their high-end one. You know, she just didn't want to spend that much money, so she got me a $100 one. But I'm pretty happy. I'm definitely going to rock them. I'm not going to take them back.
Nice. Sure. Yep. All right. Well, hopefully they hold up there.
What's Natural Instincts?
Natural Instincts is a game that was sent to us by the developer to play. So this is, it's an interesting premise here for a game. It's a nature simulator.
Okay.
This game is on Kickstarter. I don't think you can buy it right now. You can't even get it in early access. The release date is to be announced, but the developer has been trying to promote it and get the word out there. So we got a copy of it through them. And it's one of those games that are kind of relaxing and very serene. It's got peaceful music and you're in nature. And what you're doing is basically keeping the balance in this ecosystem. Now, the only level that they have right now is a European forest. You can see the other levels that they want to do. There's like an Arctic one. You get to play with like penguins.
Okay. There's Artis, like, dude.
Artis. There is a desert one, which I think would be really cool. And a bunch of different biomes. But the only playable one that they have right now is the European forest. So you have four different types of animals. You have European rabbits. You have, wolves, boars, and deer. And you're trying to keep these all in balance. So like the wolves, they need to hunt the other animals so they can feed. Each animal has its own meter, you know, that how thirsty they are, how hungry they are, if they're tired, if they're ready to mate. And you've got to manage all of that. Now, they kind of do on their own, but if you just leave them to their own devices, then one of the animals will go extinct, or like the wolves will eat all the rabbits and they'll go extinct, or like, you know, something, eventually the animals die off. So you have to make sure that they're mating and they're repopulating.
I saw that there was trash on the ground. You got to, you're basically a park ranger, huh? And also like
a little bit matchmaker. Like that. Well, see, that's the thing. Like, the mechanics of the game are really just you suggesting the animals do something. They live in their own environment. They're doing whatever they want to do. But you kind of need to step in and take action and say, oh, this rabbit's ready to mate, and he's a male, and this one's a female, and she's ready to mate. Let's get these two together. And then you click on them, and they actually do.
Not safe for work?
No, it's all right. They run up. They get behind them. They mount them for just a second, and then they hop right off. They're very quick.
Just like me.
Yeah. So it feels almost like an educational game in a way too, because it'll pop up and it'll tell you like, here's something interesting I learned from this game. Deer can see, they have a 310 degrees of vision.
Oh yeah. Cause
their eyes are on like the side of their head.
Yeah. And most prey animals, their eyes are on the side. Mm-hmm. Most hunters, they're on the front.
Yeah. So that was interesting, but that's cool. I mean, it pops up with little facts like that, and it is a very peaceful game. Now, they do give you objectives, like your first objective after the the tutorial is get six rabbits to drink water. So you have to find six thirsty rabbits, lead them to water and get them to drink. Next one is mate some rabbits, because the rabbits are kind of like the foundation of your group. You know, they're like the lowest on the...
So you have to find some thirsty rabbits and then find some thirsty rabbits.
Yep, pretty much. And once you get that population, the rabbits built up, then you move on to the other animals and you kind of keep the food chain in balance. Unfortunately, there's no way to save in the game right now. So the first time that I played this, I didn't really understand what was going on. And fairly quickly in, one of the animals went extinct. I played it again a second time, now knowing what I had to do, did a lot better. But this time the wolves went extinct just because I was focusing so much on the rabbits and everything that I had the quest for, the rabbits, the deer, and then the boar. And then I totally ignored the wolves. I'm like, that'll be all right. And, eventually they just didn't mate and they aged and they died and they went extinct. And there's no saving, so I didn't really want to go all the way back and do everything over again.
So it's really early in development then, if it has no saving.
It feels pretty early in development.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it didn't really blow my socks off, but at the same time, it's like this game has a long way to go in its development. And I really would have loved, a huge part of this that I really would have enjoyed was playing the penguins in the Arctic zone, going in the desert and playing with the animals there, you know, just trying out the different areas.
Biomes.
Yeah, but the moment-to-moment play is a little lacking, too, because basically you're going into this vision mode. You press V, and you can see all these different things, these icons for the animals around there, and you click on them. Okay, this one is ready to mate. Okay, I need to find a mate for this one. Okay, I need a male rabbit that's ready to mate. Click around, zoom around the map.
How do you know he's ready to mate?
There's just a progress bar that shows, yeah. Yeah, and certain animals, like, there's like a mating season, I think. So, like, the deer, they just don't want to do anything, and then all of a sudden, boom, everybody wants to get crazy.
Yeah, so. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Some more fun facts about deer. They grow fucking antlers in 1 month.
I think they did mention something like that in this.
Yeah.
They talked about the antlers a little bit.
It's one of the fastest things that grows in nature. And then they fight for a month. And all go out fucking. So basically, you're hanging with your homies. You grow weapons on your head. You fight your homies to the death sometimes, just to get some pussy. And then that's just how it goes for 1 month. And then everything's back to normal again. It's crazy, man. It's a crazy way to live your life.
The life of deer.
Yep. Sometimes there's like skeletons, full skeletons of deer hanging off another guy's antlers, because like he's been dragging them around because they got locked together. So most of the time, they both die, though, because they can't carry the other weight.
Wow.
It's crazy shit.
Hmm. Yeah, so natural instinct, is that what it is? Did I write that correctly? Yeah, natural instinct. It throws me off because I keep thinking of natural selection.
Shooter.
Yeah, it's like Aliens versus Humans shooter. Natural Selection 2.
Ahead of its time. That needs some... We need a Natural Selection 3. That, if you don't remember what that is... there was a commander that told troops where to go. And I think the Marines were all the same class and the aliens had different classes and they could morph into what the commander needed. So he would tell the grubs to morph into like whatever he needed. But the grub was an actual person playing a first person.
Yeah. The longer you stayed alive as one of the aliens, you could
mutate
into like a flying beast or, you know, one that could walk on walls, like all these different things. It was a great game. I wonder how many people are still playing this.
Let's see.
218, not too many, unfortunately.
The best players ever.
Yeah. And it requires a pretty big player base too.
Oh yeah. I was going to ask you, are there hunters in that game?
Not that I've encountered yet. There is a road with cars that drive by, and you got to watch out because you get hit by a car. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's all right. It's got a long ways to go, but I love the idea of a nature simulator. I don't think that's really been done yet, but it doesn't – calling it a simulator may not sell it correctly, though. That may not be entirely accurate because it's – you aren't – I don't know. It's unlike a lot of the other simulators out there, but it is relaxing and it is peaceful and it looks very good.
It'd be good to put like educational tooltips, like optional, like you can put them on and off and then you just mouse over things and tells you about them. That'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, what I did like is that the little educational things that popped up, it was a voiceover. And I don't know. I think because of Kentucky Route Zero, I really appreciate voiceover.
Okay, so you read a lot for Kentucky Route Zero, huh?
I read a lot. Kentucky Route Zero is a lot of reading.
Oh my goodness.
I know,
wasn't down for Disco Elysium, which is a fantastic game, because it had too much reading. So,
well, here's the difference, though. Disco Elysium, there are mechanics in the game. They do involve reading, but there are certainly mechanics in the game, things that you have to figure out. And a lot of that, the way that they were able to integrate that with the reading and the text was really incredible, like groundbreaking almost. Kentucky Route Zero is a reading sim. It's a walking reading sim. I did not know that. I thought it was going to be more of a point-and-click adventure.
That's what I thought it was as well.
It's an interesting game because the first act came out in 2013. I think I bought it. I bought this game early when it only had an act or two out, and I just never got around to playing it. But it's interesting because you start playing the game. They just released their fifth act, so the game is now complete. But I just started playing it, so the first act feels very dated. It feels like a lot of games you played back in 2013. Not just graphics, but just kind of like the philosophy of the game, I suppose. I've only played the first two acts, and that took me maybe about 3 hours, just to give you an idea of how long the game is. And it's a walking simulator with quite a bit of reading, a lot of text, and it's all very vague. It's a little David Lynch, it's a little Twin Peaks, it's not very supernatural or mysterious, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was like a surprise, like, turns out everybody was dead, you know, and this is all happening in like,
right.
What's that place? Not heaven or hell? The place in purgatory.
Purgatory. Yeah.
I don't know. That wouldn't surprise me. Now the stories it does tell, I mean, some of them are kind of interesting, and I think there's a through line, but again, it's so vague about it, it's kind of difficult to tell. At the end of the second act, at the end of each act, they have this little part that you play through, but really you're just kind of the whole game is sitting there reading. But really it's kind of like this in-between level. And the one after the second act I thought was pretty interesting. There's a play going on, and you don't realize it's a play because of where the camera's positioned. So you're watching, and it's just these people sitting at a bar having a conversation. Through the dialogue, you understand what's going on.
Are you making dialogue choices?
No.
You're literally just reading a story.
You do have options where you get to choose the dialogue choices. They have absolute... I don't think they have any effect on the game. They may change a line or two, but that's really what I had a problem with in the first act. Was it was like some stuff. I was in a mine and some rocks fell on my leg, and the lady I was with said, "Are you okay?" And my option was like, "Oh yeah, I'm fine." And the other option was, "I think my legs hurt really bad." And I clicked, "Oh, I'm fine." And she's like, "Are you sure? Your leg is hurt really bad." I'm like, "Well, why are you even asking me again? Like, why do you even ask me?" You know? So I was a little annoyed at that, but the game got better as it went on.
It sounds like you're describing a graphic novel, dude.
Yeah, it is kind of like a graphic novel. Yeah. And it is very graphic. I mean, not graphic like grotesque or anything, but it relies heavily on the graphics. And I read somewhere, I read a lot of things about this game because I was like, there's something I'm not getting, dude. This game got like an 84, an 87 on PC Gamer. It's got really, really good reviews, and I'm just not into it.
Well, that's why I wanted to play this game, because I think when the first episode came out, that one was in the 90s, like 99% or something. And I think as the more episodes come out, it's going lower and lower.
Well, it was 2013, and we were given walking sims like 90 pluses all over the place, weren't we, back then? Because it was a little more... It was a little more new and fresh.
Is the writing good?
Yeah, the writing's good.
Oh,
but
okay.
Again, it's very vague and unclear what's actually going on, and it's kind of like, I don't know. I kind of wish it would be a little more direct. The graphics are absolutely beautiful, though. They're very simple. They're very simplistic. And the stories it tells, and also the graphics are very, like, I don't know, rural Americana, just very... Hey.
Oh. Just put it right inside here. Please.
That looks interesting.
That's should we put it in the refrigerator? No, right?
You should eat it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot. What is? We'll find out later. Okay. We just had some food delivered.
Yeah, it's for Bobby Tries a Mexican.
Okay, so Kentucky Route Zero. The graphics are actually really great. And what I like that it does is, like I was explaining in that little interlude after the second act. So I'm watching these people talk at a bar. I'm like, okay, I'm just watching this conversation at a bar, and I have to turn over to see what this person says, turn over to see, like, move the camera to see what the other person says. And finally, I'm like, I wonder what else is in this place. I turn around, and it turns out there's an audience behind them. I'm watching a play. And I'm in the audience. So I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And there's many, many times where the story, the camera moves in or moves out to reveal something, or it frames whatever's happening different.
Like, so it uses its angles to tell the story as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very, I read somewhere that the people who made this game, they don't consider themselves developers. They're actually artists who decide to make this project in like an interactive game.
Cornea says it's like an art house movie. You have to be in the mood for it. That's what I was trying to tell you. At a different day, at a different Bobby.
Yeah. You know what I think really did it? I streamed this. Like, there was a request to play this game and to stream it. So I did. And a game changes when you stream it.
100%.
When you have an audience. So it felt really awkward for me just to be sitting there playing this game and reading.
Yeah.
Just constantly reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a little weird. You know, I'd comment a little bit here and there. But yeah, I don't know.
So far, not great. Are you going to continue?
I feel like I should, because it is getting better.
Yeah.
Like, every single level I play, every single act or interlude gets just a little bit better. So, and I like the idea that this game came out in 2013 and they finish it in 2020. So through the course of 7 years, every act is going to be different. You know, it's going to slightly reflect whatever was going on in that
different character. Are they like episodes where it's different characters, different story completely?
There's a cast of characters and they're all somehow kind of loosely related. But again, it's so like out there that it's just, I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And it's one of those things where there's probably not like a finite answer to it, you know? Yeah.
Which is going to frustrate you even more, probably, if you don't.
I mean, I'm
answer.
Okay with that, but usually not in reading. Yeah. I'm a little more, I don't know.
Well, I'm glad we didn't make this for the gamer. Although
you would have hated this game. You would have absolutely hated this
game. And we would have had a lot to talk about, though, if I did play all the way through. Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've been reading so many books lately that I'm like, look, if I want to read, I'll read a book. But I don't know. Yeah, so take my review with a grain of salt. I'm sure there is a lot more to this game, and I was just in a different mindset. But it was tough for me this week. This was not the game that I wanted to play this week.
Hey, Bobby. Ever heard of a game called Remnant from the Ashes? So I've been talking about this game for about 5 weeks straight. You want to click the link, Bobby? Just for the hell of it. I would stop talking about this game if this game would stop giving me shit to talk about. Like, it just keeps growing and growing and giving me more and more shit to talk about. So quick rundown. It's on sale right now, so I can already just go and buy it. It's $25 again, which a lot of people bought it back when I first started talking about it. To call it a soul, it's a Souls-like, but it's a ranged Souls-like. So you have guns. That's basically the big thing. So there's a whole campaign you could go through with randomly generated levels with random bosses. You don't know what you're going to get. So there's a lot of replayability. What I started playing last night was survival mode, which might as well just be fucking a hardcore roguelike. For a long time with roguelikes, you know, everybody knows that roguelikes is one of my favorite genre, if not my favorite genre. And I always play these like 8-bit versions, right? But it's like, I'm not playing roguelikes in 8-bit because I like 8-bit or 16-bit. It's because that's how they come, because it's like an indie thing, but I've always wanted a AAA title to have a roguelike, and that's basically what this is. It's not AAA, it's probably AA or whatever, mid-tier, but it's a hardcore roguelike. You literally start in underwear and a pistol, and with $100, and you go and you buy whatever, even the stuff in the shop is random, so you buy the best whatever you think you could put together from what's available with that $1,000, and then you start the game. And while you're going through the game, it's a lot like Risk of Rain. There's a timer going, and every 3 minutes, the bad guys get harder and harder. So you got to go push faster and faster, but also be looting to get perks and weapons and all kinds of shit. Mm-hmm. So it's a balance between risk and reward, which is what I love about roguelikes. So, dude, there's this game that I really enjoy, and I had a really good time with it, and then, boom, there's a roguelike version of it inside of itself for free that you just get to play. I would play that just for the fun of it, just for the replayability. But on top of that, you're picking up these embers or whatever, and it unlocks cosmetics for your main character in the regular game. Like, I would have just played it straight up, but it has this bonus, so why not? On top of this, I'm probably going to talk about this next week, because there's something called Adventure Mode, where you take your main guy and then you play through. And Atrocious, we played with him a little bit last night. He said that it plays more like Diablo, where you're just playing through the game. It's randomly generating. You don't know what you're going to get. And just you might get really good drops every once in a while. Hmm. So I'm going to try that out next week.
This roguelike mode is not part of the DLC?
No. It's the adventure mode, the one that I just mentioned. That's the one that you get on the DLC.
That's part of Swamps of Courses.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. The DLC was very, like, even when I bought it, I didn't know what I was getting, but now I kind of know. Mm-hmm. There's a whole area that was unlocked when you picked that up, too. So, yeah, huge, huge fan of this game. These developers had very lofty goals, and they pulled it off. At the price of maybe the resolution on their graphics. I don't know. That's the only thing that didn't wow me. Mm-hmm. This game's got everything, man.
Yeah. And you're using a keyboard and mouse for this, not a controller,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Although Atrocious at one point said, I have to charge my controller. And me and John were like, what the fuck? We almost kicked him off the team, dude. You're off the island, bro.
It doesn't seem like a game you should play with a controller, really. Yeah. If you have the keyboard and mouse readily available.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I also revisited Noita. This is a weird game. It's going to be hard to describe. But it's a 2D platformer, roguelike, where all the pixels are simulated to be the material that they're made out of. So, chemically. So, you know. Fire pixels will interact with coal pixels in a certain way, and all kinds of weird shit happens. You can light acid on fire, or there is like a treasure chest at the bottom, and it's all randomly generated, like 100% randomly generated, kind of like what's the star something?
Stardew Valley?
No, the one where you do you mine. It's a 2D platformer.
I don't think Star's in the name. I know the game you're talking about. You're throwing me off because you said Star.
And there's the other one, too, that doesn't have the star part of it. It's not. Anyway.
Terraria.
So, Terraria is the other one. Yeah, very, very akin to Terraria. But this is more action. There's no digging. I mean, you can dig, maybe, if you get something that can dig. But for the most part, you're just exploring caverns, trying to get as much gold as you can, get to the next level. And it is hard, 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 hard. And that was my big, big complaint of the first time I played it. It was just too hard. Like, I couldn't even pass the first level for the most part. Maybe 1 in 10 tries. And because it's a roguelike, I wasn't getting any gear to help me for my next run. It's just the knowledge, right? So now it's a little bit easier. If you do pass the level, you get full health, you get an upgrade, and the money is a lot easier, so you can buy more stuff. I wasn't able to buy shit last time. The health wouldn't fill all the way up if you passed, and there was no upgrade at all. Also, the other thing that adds to the craziness of this game is you get these wands, and the wands have spells on them, but you can start mixing your spells up. You can take spells from this wand, put it on this one, and it'll interact with whatever that spell, that wand was doing in the first place. So let's say you have one that shoots a bullet, and then you have another wand that has like a shotgun spread shot. You can get them both together and make like a further range shotgun or whatever. And then you have a flame wand. You combine that one with the other ones, and now you have a shotgun flame wand or whatever. So, and it looks like the combinations are just infinite. There was a treasure chest at the bottom of an acid lake. And I was like, "What? How am I going to get that?" So I had a rain cloud wand. So I made a rain cloud and it started to dilute the acid. And you could see that it was clearing up the green and replacing with blue, but it wasn't enough. So then I made another rain cloud, and little by little, I diluted it to the point where now there's probably other ways to do that. I probably could have blown it up. I could have probably made a hole in the bottom and all the acid would have drained out. But that's the way I didn't want to use a bomb because it blows up the treasure chest. I'm learning all this stuff as I go. It's fun.
Yeah, but it doesn't tell you anything.
It doesn't tell you anything.
Figure out through practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this game's $18. $18 for Noita. Not too bad of a price. The reviews are very good.
Yeah.
And the game you were referring to is Starbound. I was wrong. Star is in the name. Okay. Starbound. Yeah, we played quite a bit of that when it was out.
Yeah. I think we beat the whatever boss was in the game at that time. We beat the game.
Yeah. Whatever that means,
yeah. Let me make sure I didn't miss anything. Nope, that's pretty much it. Got that. Doom Eternal played a little bit today, probably like 2-3 hours. Just a couple of things that I wanted to mention. So I'm just going to call it the Citadel. That's probably not what it's called, but your floating space station in space. So I got the first like energy thing, put it in there, and doors start to unlock, and you're like, what? This is way bigger than I thought it was, which is pretty cool. But what I really liked about it was there's upgrades behind glass that I can't reach until I bring more power cells to open those things.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really cool. It's like a very old mechanic in video games to tease your upgrades and not give them to you. Kind of like, way back to Legend of Zelda, where like there would be like the upgrade you need on the other side of a river. But you don't have the grappling hook to get around.
Yeah, raft or something.
Yeah, whatever it is. And then you just got to like think about, like, I know it's there. I just got to figure out how to get there. And there's a little bit of that in Doom, and I thought that was pretty cool. What was the other thing that I said? Let's see. Oh, and I had no idea that I was going to control enemies. I know that you could do it in the multiplayer, but I didn't know that you can become enemies in this version.
Some small parts where you play as...
Yeah, I played as the... Revenant?
Revenant, the flying one with the rocket shoulders.
Yeah, do I get to play anymore? Probably.
I don't remember a lot of parts like that. Now, granted, I only played a little over half the game, so maybe there's more, but I think that's the only one I remember. And it was kind of a short period, too.
And the other thing is, I just kind of forgot how fun this game is. I was playing it on the second to hardest difficulty, and it was just too hard. When I got to those purple like challenges...
Those are tough.
I just fucking couldn't do it.
They get a lot harder, too. I've been playing on normal difficulty, and the last one that I did was... It was a challenge. Took a few tries.
Yeah. So I dropped it down to one peg, to whatever that is. Hurt me plenty. And that's a nice little... I like that. Like, I'm not dying too much. And, you know, the puzzles... I could have took, or not puzzles, but hidden shit. I like it, and I don't like it. It's just like, you got to weigh how much... time you're going to spend on this thing. Like, am I going to try to get this thing? Or if I continue in the campaign, is something do I do in the campaign open this door later on? And I wasted all this time trying to jump into the hole or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the levels at times are not very... Well, I don't know. It depends on the level.
The map is great. It helps a lot.
I think the fifth one, this could be wrong, maybe the fifth or the sixth one, one of those levels is not linear at all. And that's the one I struggled with the most. I tried forever to get, like, you know, jump into these areas and then leap off, like double jump into another area. And I just couldn't do it. And I figured at this point, you know what, it's got to be something that I unlock later. I'll circle back to this area and then get to that.
But sometimes you don't get to come back.
Yeah, sometimes you don't. So, yeah.
It's weird. So... I don't know what to think about the hidden items, but I guess I'm glad they're in there. Let's talk about Dungeons & Dragons, dude. We nerded out.
Yeah, so we played Dungeons & Dragons last Wednesday, and I believe we're going to play again this Wednesday. We did the Sunless Citadel playthrough, and I don't think we've made it through all of it. I think we're just getting started.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we used a combination of D&D Beyond and also...
Roll 20.
Yeah, Roll 20. And there was a plugin that we had to install on Chrome to be able to get these two to talk to each other.
Which was fantastic. I'm so glad that that worked.
I barely had to do anything. It all just kind of worked. So my biggest question going into this was, because I've never done this, I played a little bit of D&D, hardly any when I was younger, but never online, never done any of this online. So that part was a completely new experience for me. And they really have put a lot of tools out there to facilitate playing it online and not lose that magic, that vibe that you have when you're playing with your friends. It does make it easier in a lot of ways, I feel like. It still seems like quite a bit of work for the dungeon master.
Yeah.
I've never done that job though, so I really don't know. But I don't know. How did you enjoy it?
I had a good time. I've been listening to Roll 20 or fucking a Critical Role so much, and I like to fuck around with voices and do voices and stuff. So I was fucking balls deep, dude. I just threw myself into my character. Bobby, not so much. Bobby didn't talk. And when he did talk, he talked like this is what a dwarf sounds like, guys. But I didn't expect him to. I didn't think that he was going to. And then Christian kind of forgot that he was role-playing half the time. So he was just like normal Chris. And then sometimes I think
there was a lot of learning going on too, for sure. And a lot of figuring out. So we spent more time out of character than in character, but that's the more difficult part of it for me is definitely doing the voices and playing the character.
The time that you role played, I believe, is when, cause you made your guy super religious, right? He's a paladin. And I was like, dude, I'm trying to get you to like buy some armor. And you were like, Jesus is my armor. That really cracked me up.
Which probably doesn't make any sense in the realm of like the fantasy world here. I don't think Jesus
He probably has some other god or whatever, but
But I'm working on it. But we've got our DM on the line here, Nick. Nick, how do you think that went? How did we do?
I will say the one thing that I can say is for the like playing with first timers, like you guys doing everything online for the first time, just everything being the first time for you guys did great. Cool. You guys had fun. You guys played around. I love to hear Emilio's voice as his little goblin. I mean, not goblin, rock gnome.
Yeah.
It was funny to see, Bobby react in certain ways to people being lit on fire and things like that. it was definitely fun. Also getting to know Chris, because that's the first time I've ever met him, or Christian. So it was definitely an awesome time. Like you said, Bobby, we've just scratched the surface. We haven't even actually entered like the main dungeon. That was merely a random encounter we had. So
okay. Yeah, and that's what I figured. I think the plan is for all of us to play again on Wednesday.
I still need to level up my character. So I got to do that.
Yeah, plenty of time. I think one of the nicest, but one of the coolest things that like you did was like, I would describe how you killed the guy, and that's usually what you do. And usually like the last guy you ask me, how do you kill this guy? And then you say it.
Yeah.
But Emilio's character would be like, that's freaking awesome. Or like stuff like that.
I was like cheering on the other guys. Cause Nick would, Bobby was rolling really well in combat, just cutting things' heads off, clefting in twain these bodies, like to just split it apart, according to Nick. And I would say what, like, my guy's into, like, he's the macabre and shit. So he's seeing all this fucking gore and shit. So he was like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. He's just like digging the blood and the guts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you wrote macabre. Now, I hate to do this, but macabre.
Doesn't it mean like...
It's spelled like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, silent R.
Macabre.
You spelled it like corn on the macabre.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anytime I see a misspelled word, I got a flat ash.
Dude, I spell.
Well, I'm surprised you do speak two languages, so there's that.
But I misspell things probably at every other sentence. I'm terrible at spelling.
Yeah, but that was cool. We did record this, although I don't think the footage is really usable because there was just so many questions.
Yeah.
There was so many questions. And one thing I did enjoy, though, was that...
I'm glad you enjoyed one thing.
Well, the plug-in that we used, or maybe it was something else, I'm not sure, but you actually see the die roll out on your webpage.
Visualization of it. Yeah, which is cool. And When you were attacking, usually you roll two die. It's like one to see if you hit and another one to see the damage. Mm-hmm. But it does everything for you. And it shows you, like, whatever weapon you were swinging with. It gives you everything you need in one roll. So it's pretty great. It cuts down a lot of the, I don't know, the time.
It cuts down a lot on the, what we call page flipping. Because instead of going like, okay, what does a battle axe do? What kind of damage does it do? You know, how many dice is that? The plugin is even... I would even say better than real life playing. Yeah,
because you don't have to look, where's my D4? Where's my D8? Where's my D6? It just rolls the appropriate thing.
Yeah, you just click battle axe, and then the roll happens, and then the damage happens. And the game will tell me, as the DM, if you hit or not, depending on like the mobs that I set up. Because I see way more than you guys see. But it'd be like, all right, you know, Dwarf Paladin dealt 11 damage to this rat man. He's dead. And so that's what it tells me.
Bobby's Dwarf Paladin is named Dwarf Mr. Paladin. So, yeah, it's weird when I'm introducing him in game.
All right. Well, do you think we should stream this, or do you guys still feel like, nah?
Not yet. I think we're going to hit our stride maybe in three or four sessions.
Yeah.
And then, I would say about three sessions. Yeah. We'll get everything down. There'll be a little less questions. Cause you know, I had to give you guys some tips, and you guys had to ask some questions, and streaming wise like that, that can kind of seem like kind of bumpy.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Other than that, it'd be awesome to stream that.
Yeah. And we might be doing more interesting content later too.
Yeah.
As opposed to walking around a town and fighting rats.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
No problem. All right. Talk to you guys.
See you Wednesday. All right. So D&D on Wednesday. It's nice that we get to do that, man. It's like, it almost feels like when you play WoW and you have your raid nights, you know, you just got something on the calendar there.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I was like, on Friday, I was like, I have time to play D&D. Oh, but we can't call everybody and get this together. It's not something you could do on a whim, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was down to play it again on Friday, man.
All right. Did you want to talk about F1?
Yeah, this is just if I'm really enjoying something on Netflix, I'll definitely, usually bring it up. It's weird. A lot of times that I'm not into something, and I love documentaries, and this is like a documentary type show, and it's about the F1 series of racing. You know, this is the open wheel cars, basically the fastest cars that go around the track in the world. Mm-hmm. They go up to 200 miles an hour. And I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know how it worked, all this stuff. There's only 20 drivers in the world. And they're all prima donnas for the most part. And they get traded and bought and sold and fired all the time. There's mad, mad drama. And the coaches, everybody, it's just like so high pressure. The difference between fifth and fourth is insane. Sometimes one team comes in ninth, they're fucking just showing champagne. They're ecstatic for ninth place because they were on the board and they got some points because it's a tournament, right? The whole thing, there's 25 points and first place gets like 12, and then you go all the way down the line until I think ninth is the last one. So if you get some points, you're stoked. And this is multiple millions of dollars that goes into these. Like, you wreck one car, that's $2 million right there, just right off the bat. They got to make a new car. They just gotta have to get over that. It's just an expense they have to eat, but they crash all the time. So I didn't know anything about this. I'm not really into racing. I've never really even watched racing. And now I think I'm an F1 fan. I looked into going to, because there's one in Mexico and there's one in Texas. So I was thinking about going to the Mexico one, thinking it was cheaper. It's like $900 to go.
To attend live? Wow.
Yeah. It's pricey. This is kind of, it's a rich man's sport for sure. But I enjoy it this way because I don't know any of the races. I don't know who won. I don't. Mm-hmm.
So this documentary, this is on Netflix.
Yeah, it's not a document. It's a docuseries. There's two seasons, and okay, there's like a lot to watch here. But it's really, really well done. Beautifully, beautifully shot. Sam's watching it. She's enjoying it. You know, it's kind of like a soap opera. It's like a man soap opera. Manpra. No, that didn't work.
Like a reality show on F1 drivers.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it is.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
All right, it's time for On the Radar, games that have come to our attention recently. And the first one we're going to start with is called Atomicrops.
I watched this, dude. It looked like so much chaos. I don't even know if I could keep up with what's going on.
Well, this is a wild combination of genres here that I'm surprised has not been done before. So it's like a farming, not a farming simulator, but it's like, imagine Stardew Valley, but a roguelike twin stick shooter as well. Yeah. So you spend part of the game, and this is a great idea, man. I can't believe this hasn't been done before. You spend part of the game playing Stardew Valley, building up your farm, crops, also relationships as well as a part of this. And then you spend the night defending that, just killing all the creatures that come in and, I don't know, try to steal your plants or destroy your home. I don't know.
Holy shit. Sorry. The video that I watched, though, looked like he was like watering his plants and collecting while he was fending. It didn't seem like it was two separate games. From everything I watch, it looks like you do both at the same time.
Yeah, you might be able to. I read somewhere that it was split like that, but maybe it's not, or maybe there's some combination of both of them. And you know what's really weird? For some reason, this particular twin stick shooter to me looks a little like Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Just, yeah, it does.
While he's defending his land at night, like, I don't know, something about it just looks like Zombies Ate My Neighbors. And that's a game that I'm just surprised has not been redone yet. Or, you know, someone kickstarted a Zombies Ate My Neighbors 2 or something. So, yeah, this is on Steam right now. Planned release date is September of 2020. Not that far away. There's a lot of gameplay footage out. You can check out gameplay footage, I think, at Rock, Paper, Shotgun or whoever. Whoever was, I don't know where I read that article. But it's all out there at all the major outlets. But yeah, no price point on this game.
I'll have to wait for some reviews, but I mean, I just stay away from farming in general. I don't care if you try to shoehorn it with a roguelike. I'm probably not going to play this, but maybe you'll love it. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. All right, next game, there's a new Total War game, Total War Saga Troy.
Yeah, I saw a PC Gamer article. I didn't read it, but they were talking about that they're trying something completely new on this one. Have you looked into this game, Bobby?
With the game itself?
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of gameplay footage on it, but I haven't really read too much about it. I mean, to me, it just looks like another Total War game, this time set in Troy. I like that time period. That's cool. And also, they're giving the game away for free for one day. I think it's one day, right? The first 24 hours this game is released.
Oh.
On Epic, by the way.
Okay.
Let's see. August 13th is the day. So for 24 hours, whoever grabs this game gets it for free, and Epic will actually pay the developers for however many copies were activated.
They're doing whatever they can to get people to download the Epic launcher, man. That is aggressive. I wonder how much the game is.
I mean, these Total War games are not cheap when they first come out.
Yeah, 40, 50 bucks usually.
Yeah.
Damn.
What did they say was different about the gameplay?
I wish I would have read the article, but okay. Because usually they don't have Saga in the name of it, right? Total War?
I think that's been... See, this is the thing. I've only played like one Total War game, so I really don't know much about the series, so I don't know how to compare this to other Total War games and like whether or not it's a good one or a bad one or, you know, whatever. But...
Reviews are 50-50 on YouTube, says Sniper.
Yeah, he probably knows quite a bit more about this than us. Maybe we should get him on the line here to explain Total War to us.
Nick says it's the first fantasy slash history game that is compared to being only historical. Okay. It's mixing in fantasy and history as opposed Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man. It's, so with this title, they wanted to do it like the reality behind the myth is what they call it. So, like, you have minotaurs, but they're actually just, like, giant people that wear, like, cow skins on their head. Oh. And, like, the special characters, like Achilles, you know, he's not supposed to die unless you hit him in the heel. He's just, like, a really fast character. Like, he can still die normally. So they kind of try to make it more realistic. But there's also, like, magic in the game randomly, so... People are kind of confused about it.
Yeah, so like realistic mythicism, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what they were going for. Oh, and
interesting.
With the Total War games, like a big part of the gameplay change is cavalry. We're always like the wrecking ball. Like, you needed some in your army to win. Any Total War player knows cavalry. But because of the age, Bronze Age, and where they're situated, cavalry aren't that popular. So
cavalry?
Cavalry? Where did Jesus die, and what's the horse?
Cavalry for the horses.
Cavalry for the horses? No, cavalry for where Jesus died?
Calgary is where you live, right?
Yeah, where I move. That's funny. Yeah, so they, I'm just going to say horses from now on, because for some reason I'm fucking that
mounted
up.
Mounted troops.
Yeah. What's that?
Just mounted troops.
Just think cavalry, mounted troops. Cavalry, cavalier. Cavalier, cavalry.
Bobby, your teaching methods, they just are wet noodles against a brick wall right now. I have no idea how to say that word.
Okay.
For the infantry combat, it focuses a lot more on that, and there's three different types of infantry. And I guess we're like, some people got an early access code on YouTube, not press, just YouTubers, which is kind of weird. And they were confused with it. They were like, okay, we have these three types of infantry. They're supposed to kind of be a rock, paper, scissors thing happening, but the heavy infantry are just the best in every scenario. Mm. So they think it's not well balanced. And then these mythical creatures, okay, I guess you have a giant guy wearing this bull thing. He's supposed to be a minotaur. But then they can take out 100 units, 200 units before dying. So people feel like, why did you do the myth behind the, or the reality behind the myth, if you're just going to make these units like super overpowered? Right. Or at least that's what the YouTubers say. So, yeah, Total War has had like a little track record of shitting the bed on historical titles, like lots of mixed reviews on Britannia and Three Kingdoms that just came out. So I think they're giving it away to try to bait people back to it. But if it's bad, then it could, like, I don't know, it could sink the series. Like, if this is bad, I don't think I'm going to pick up another Total War game.
Oof. Well, the other ones are doing really well, right? The Warhammer versions.
Yeah, those, like, the really mythical ones are really fun, too.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for dropping the info. And it's right. Minotaur, not Minotaur, or whatever okay. You were saying.
I need to go to speaking lessons or something later. Later.
Making fun of the Canadians and the way that they talk.
I don't know what that's all about. Boot.
All about. I don't know, man. This is it's tough for if you're a big fan of the series. I'm sure there's probably a lot of mixed feelings, but I'm just like, man, free game. I'll take that.
Yeah, for sure.
And but I don't know.
Your stockpile of free games on Epic that you'd never play is fucking getting gigantic.
Yeah.
Well, what have you played on Epic?
I've actually played quite a bit on Epic.
World War Z. I know you
played. Yeah, World War Z.
We haven't played together yet. I really want to play that. I just uninstalled it today. I was trying to make room.
Sundered. Got that for free. Played that. Yeah, they're giving away Overcooked, so they're starting to repeat their free giveaways now. But this is a really cool thing to do, give it away free for 24 hours. Hopefully that'll bring new people into it.
Yeah.
All right. August 13th. Okay. I wanted to mention this, even though we've talked about it before, Rock of Ages 3. This is coming out in July, but right now there is going to be an open beta and you can sign up for it right now. The open beta is on June 9th and I'll include the link in the description or the show notes. But yeah, I would love to get a hold of this, play it early.
Should we talk about what it is?
Everyone knows what Rock of Ages is.
You think they do, dude. That's all right. We can move on.
You just roll a big boulder down. But this is Rock of Ages 3, make and break. So this is going to be where you create your
own maps.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of level creation. That's the big pool here.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, Anew, The Distant Light.
I'll click on this so I remember what this is. I believe this is a 2D side-scroller. Yeah, this looks great, man. I really dig in the look of this. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, the 50s idea of what space was going to be. You know what I mean? Like, what's that? Deadly Tower of Monsters? Mm-hmm. It just looks like retrofuturism in the style that it looks. The lighting is crazy. It's just really good pixel art. There's a lot of weird mechanics. There's just gravity, playing around with gravity, jumping from one asteroid to another. It called itself an exploration game, so I don't think it's linear. they didn't say Metroidvania, but that's what I'm getting out of it. But I, just watch the video. You're going to watch, you're going to see like seven different ways to play this game in that short little video. There's all kinds of different shit going on. You can upgrade your, I guess they say pilot. So I think you're in some sort of robot. So you can upgrade your robot suit and do different loadouts and stuff. It just seems to have everything, and it looks really weird and good at the same time. A good weird. I like it. It's compelling. I want to check it out.
No release date, no price point.
Yep.
Anew, The Distant Light.
Hopefully it makes it to light.
All right. Last up is Sentimental K. Sounds very Japanese.
Yep, and it looks very Japanese. Sometimes people send me things, and I don't know if they're trolling. The main character in this, it just looks like something straight out of hentai. And so I was kind of like, oh, he's trying to clickbait me. But then I started watching the combat, and the combat looks very cool. The first thing it reminded me of was, I'm blanking here. Fuck. From the studio that always has really good soundtracks. Top Down,
Bastion,
the other one, Your Boyfriend's and the Sword.
Yeah, yeah, I know
that one. So that's what it kind of reminded me
Terraria.
Of.
Terraria,
no,
Transistor,
that's the one. So the combat reminded me of Transistor, where you kind of plan your attack before you do your attack, but it's way more deep than that. Much like what I was talking about with Noita, it looks like you can take different parts and different attacks and just mix and match and do all kinds of crazy shit. So you can have a gun and then have, you know, spread shot all this, or, and then add a dash to that gun. So you can dash behind things, then shoot them, but you're building your own combos. None of these videos are showing any of the combat. I don't know. Oh,
this is a live stream.
Yeah. Can you go to the video?
So it's a roguelike, but it's a 3D action roguelike.
Yeah, it's almost all combat. It doesn't look like there's any exploration. It looks like it's just like fight mm-hmm. from what I could tell. But none of this is. There's a lot of boss fights. It's randomly generated what boss you get. But I don't know. You have to look at the video to watch the combat to see what I'm talking about. But the combat looks compelling for sure.
All right. No. Oh, wait. You can buy this right now. It's on sale, $17.49, $25 typically.
Still in early access.
Yeah. Sentimental K.
Click on that third one, Bobby, that third frame in the pictures. You can see what she looks like. I was like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Very anime.
Yeah. Very anime.
Cool. All right. That's it for On the Radar. Let's get the news here. Not a whole lot of news going on.
No.
Although this first article, I do definitely want to talk about. So this is on Rock, Paper, Shotgun. Crucible ditches two modes, delays its first season indefinitely.
They were listening, Bobby. That's what I told them to do. When you're starting a game like this.
That's apparently what everyone told them to do.
Yeah. You don't want to, whatever crowd you do get, you don't want to dilute your crowd by having three different game modes. It sounds great on paper, but you want one super solid game mode and have all the people that try this mm-hmm. in that.
Yeah. And I think some people may look at this and wonder, well, you know, aren't more options better? But what you do is split your player base when you create multiple modes. Heroes of the Storm had a problem with this. They ended up making quite a few different modes, and the queue times got longer for each one because the player base was so split. Everybody really liked Heart of the Hives anyway. So that was the one I'm sure everyone was playing. The queue times were a little longer for the other ones. They were, at least when I was reading on IGN before this game came out, they were really expecting Alpha Hunters, the Battle Royale mode, to be the biggest attraction.
Yeah, but it turns out that's what we talked about, too. Yeah. Remember when, before the game came out, we talked about, mm-hmm. like, that was the big attraction, but really.
Yeah, and it wasn't terrible. The whole break and make alliance thing didn't work at all, I felt. But I don't know. I had one really good time in there. But Heart of the Hives is really where it was at on this game. And it sounds like they're
going to focus on that one.
They're going to add things. They've listed a few things that they're going to add, which is a lot of the stuff that people are wondering why the game didn't have. But it also sounds like they're going to try and stretch out that mode too, which is kind of what I felt it needed. It needed to feel a little more like a MOBA because it kind of went by pretty quickly and it was all pretty straightforward. If you stretch it out a little bit, then it could feel like, you know, there's more at stake.
A little more of a story, like this happened, instead of just, it's still just random encounters.
Yeah, just run out, kill a bunch of animals, yeah. And then when the heart or the hive spawns and go attack the enemies, group up and try to do as much damage as you can. Yeah, it needs a little bit more going on than that. But what made me wonder that is one of the things that they've listed that they wanted to add was a surrender option. Now, the game Heart of the Hives, it is a longer mode, but the games are still so short, I don't see why you would even really need a surrender option. But if they were to make it longer, then yeah, that might be necessary. There were a few other things that they listed. They're getting rid of that, like, capture point mode, too, which I thought was absolutely terrible. Yeah. Harvester Command, worthless.
Almost seemed like a practice mode.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what they said they're working on. Voice chat. These are their top priorities. There's more that they're working on in lieu of doing the season one battle or battle pass or whatever it is.
Not a big fan of them working on voice chat.
You need some sort of communication. There's not even text chat in there. And this is a type of game that does require a little more coordination.
Yeah, but I disagree. I think you should. If I was a developer, I would just use Discord and push the Discord, like we were talking about last week. I don't think you should have it in game. What do we do? What's the first thing that we do? We turn it off because we don't want to mess up with our Discord.
Yeah, but you got to also imagine console players don't have that option as well. Yeah. But yeah, voice chat or some sort of communication. So they're working on that. Okay. System to deal with AFK players. Yeah, dude. Why was that not in there right at the beginning? An expanded ping system. They absolutely need that. Yeah. They do have a ping system, but that's all it is, a ping. It doesn't say like, I need help here, or, hey, there's a thing over here that you need to come and get. If you click, if you ping right on top of something, which is actually really hard to do, like the sniper shot middle mouse button on top of like a health pack from like 100 yards away, it'll say like, oh, there's a health pack over there, but it's not very apparent either. So yeah, the ping system definitely needs to be improved.
Two things about pinging. One, I like that middle mouse button is just kind of like, it seems like everybody's just adopting that as their pinging button. Mm-hmm. And in Remnant from the Ashes, they speak so plainly that I pinged something for John the other day. And my guy's like, there's a thing over there you might like. And then the other time he was like, yeah, that thing right there, that thing. Yeah. So it's just like regular people talking. It's really funny.
Yeah. The other thing that they said they're working on is some form of mini map, which would be really nice. A mini map would be great.
Yeah. And then you couldn't have players that can, I mean, you can have characters that have something to do with the mini maps too, like showing you where the guys are and stuff like that. Yeah. But these are all good things. I'm glad.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll be able to pull themselves out of whatever ditch they've dug themselves into, but we'll see. I hope so, because there's something there. Yeah. There's something there to this game.
For sure.
All right. Next article is regarding Summer Games Done Quick. They are going to go fully online in August. So they had pushed it back to August. That was last we heard. The whole COVID thing happened. Everything got canceled or pushed back. They said, okay, let's push it back to August. Turns out that's not going to be good enough. So they are canceling the live event in Minnesota. I believe they have it. And they're just going to do it strictly online. Now they're going to, you know, go to the person doing the speed run, cut back to like the people talking about it. So it's going to look like kind of the same thing, but you just won't see the crowd in the background. It might have kind of a different vibe to it, but at least they're still doing it.
And those crowds sometimes were like painfully small, you know,
well, especially because they do it 24 hours a day. So you get there at like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, the crowd's not going to be very big. Yeah.
This is like one of those things that I was talking about where it's interesting what they're going to do after this. Like, is this going to be such a big success? They're going to save so much money that they might do this from now on. I'm just curious about these questions.
Yeah, it could change things, but I don't know. They didn't bring a big crowd anyway. I mean, it looked like they rented out a room at the Hyatt, basically. Yeah. You know, like a
mid-sized
room. Conference room or something. But yeah, so that's going to be happening August 16th to 23rd. Hopefully they'll have the list up sometime soon. They are extending the dates where people can apply to participate in this as well.
Hey, Sniper, can you put these guys on the list? Maybe we could talk to them. Probably not right now because like they're probably scrambling to get this done. but maybe afterwards.
All right. Battlefront 2 mods.
Yeah, I didn't know these existed. Oh, fuck. It didn't go to the page that I wanted to. Go to search and then go to games. See games.
Yeah, change it to games and then Battlefront 2.
And then Battlefront 2. I didn't know this had mods. You probably can't take them online. I don't know. Maybe you, some of them you can. The one that I clicked on is one that you can tell the ranks of the stormtroopers by their gear. They have like individualized gear. It's a very small mod, but I clicked on that, and then I found that there was a bunch of different mods. The most downloaded one, there you go, the one on the left. There you go. The most downloaded one is actually, I couldn't believe it, it's a graphics like upgrade. I was like, how the fuck are you going to upgrade these graphics? But yeah, it's a, like a high texture pack.
Yeah, I remember when the game came out, we talked about this.
Did
about
we?
Some graphics upgrade that gave you like photorealism.
That was a guy, that was somebody, I believe that was like a demo. I don't think that was playable, but yeah, that those graphics look insane. But some of the other ones, there's one, they're usually, when I had it, they were ranked by most popular. There's one where you could change everybody else out for their Lego version of themselves in the regular game. So you have like life-sized Lego ones running around. Just fun stuff like that. There's one where you can put Minecraft characters and stuff. But I thought it was cool. I didn't know that you could have mods in this, and now I do. It's probably for offline stuff or co-op stuff, I'm guessing, though.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to look more into that. I kind of knew they existed, but I never really bothered looking into them.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you ever play the co-op Wave Survival, Bobby, in that game?
I don't think so. I've done a lot of co-op in that game, but it was basically like a multiplayer game, but just with AI on one side and four players on the other side.
Yeah, there's that version, and then there's the Wave Survival, which is fun.
Yeah, that might be fun.
And you play as the heroes.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I was mentioning this
for a game night earlier
this week. Yeah, for like a game night. If like four of us got together and just played Heroes and Villains, that'd be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Was that eight players?
Four players. Yeah, and Heroes versus Villains. 4v4.
4v4, eight.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Do we want to try the Mexican candy?
No, I think we should do that at the end of the show because it has chips in it, so that's kind of crunchy. I'm really curious what you're going to think about this, though.
All right. And what is this? MPLOF converted a Twitch Prime sub to a Tier 1 sub. Oh, okay.
I think he went from the cheap one to the one where he has to pay. I think that's what that means. and we got another follow or something over there? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. LRD DeBajorn.
Oh, that might also be him. All right. Thanks, man.
Cool. All right. Time for listener questions. First question comes from Sheer Pwnage. If you guys had to stop playing a PC game genre, what would it be?
It'd be easy to say one of the ones that we dislike, right? Like a graphic novel or something. I would hate that. I hate those, but that's of the ones that we like, which one could you let go? I could give RTSs up.
RTS?
Because I'm so bad at them.
Yeah.
I do enjoy them. Like, if you don't know, this is the way I play RTS. I put it on easy, I go offline, and I play like that because I'm that bad that I have to play that way.
Yeah, they're definitely a different skill set, especially from first-person shooters. I go through a lot of phases on what genres I like to play, so to outright give one up, like the only one I'd be comfortable in saying it would probably be Dungeon Crawler right now.
Yeah, forever.
I've just always, like, I've gotten into a few of them, but I've always just kind of had a problem with that type of game. They just don't seem very interactive to me.
It's the epitome of grindiness, right? It's just left-click a lot of the times.
Yeah, just click, click, click.
Yep.
Yeah. I could give up Dungeon Crawlers. Kind of have for a while. I think the last one I really was into was Diablo 3.
I wouldn't cry a river if I had to give up them either. Hmm.
Next question from The Lotion. What game series do you think just needs to die?
Jeez. I mean, for me, from the outside, is the Call of Duties. I'm so sick of them that I'm sick of hearing about them. It's just like so much.
Well, when you don't play them, it really feels like they come up often.
Yeah.
Like every year. Like every November, you get another Call of Duty, and you know, and to hear people talk about him, this, I'm going to piss off so many people. Ray is not here to defend the series, but when people talk about him, they're just like, but this one has do. And right. It's like, dude, it's the same shit. Like,
yeah. And then they fluctuate so much too. Like there'll be a bad Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is a good Call of Duty. But if you're watching it from the outside, you're like, it looks like the same shit to me. I don't know what the difference between a good and a bad one is.
Yeah, yeah. And then you ask people what the good ones are, and they tell you one from like 2007 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's tough. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I agree with you. I feel like I should come up with something different, but I definitely am feeling the Call of Duty.
As somebody that's in, you know, on our side of things, it's tough that we gotta talk about something like we feel obligated because it's such a big game, I guess. All right. We just like always have to cover Call of Duty stuff, even though we don't play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's something that it's so big. It's like it needs coverage on the show. But a franchise that needs to, that can just go away. God, what's one that's just been like they've just been dragging it along. Like every release has just been worse and worse.
It happens a lot too. Mm-hmm. Just can't really think of one right now.
Yeah, I don't know. All I'm thinking about is Call of Duty. If I think of a better one, I'll let you know. Next question, Sniper. Would you ever eat a dog?
Yeah. I mean, if I was hungry or if it was like, I don't want to be the reason that a dog died, but if somebody already made something, shit, they already went through the process. Mm-hmm. Some dog enchiladas. Fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, don't they eat dogs in what, Korea?
Mostly it's China. There's in a China? Like a city where like that's their thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They have a festival. I mean, if it was cooked and prepared, I'll give it a try.
I mean, what is it? Meat. It's meat at the end of the day.
Idiocracy asks, what's a good book you've read lately? So I think he was asking this in Twitch chat when we were talking about, I was talking about how I've been reading books. And so that I think it's kind of skewed my opinion on Kentucky Route Zero.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd mentioned earlier in the show, I just finished The Exorcist. Been really on a demon possession kick lately, man.
But The Exorcist, right, would be your answer for sure,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's you a fantastic it. Book. It was a great book. It was a real page turner, to use an overused phrase. But it rarely happens like that. I think Dune was the last book I read where I just liked it. Reading, just every chance I get, just right back to it, reading what happens next. And it's exactly what you want from a book that a movie was based on. It's like everything that happens in the movie, but a lot more, just a bunch more scenes and a lot more context. And then
it's a good way to do it. Watch the movie first, be a fan of that, and mm-hmm. then read the book. That's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. And this all, it's a, there's a long path to this. There's a long story here, and maybe this is a Movies on the DL episode. I don't know, but, I've been following, Mark Kermode. He's a British film critic who's very, very popular over there. Does a lot of stuff on BBC. Pretty popular over here as well. Very respected in like the R Movies subreddit and everything. So I've been just listening to his podcast, watching his YouTube videos, and he is the Exorcist might be his favorite movie. I'm not sure, but he talks about it a lot. So he's been talking about it quite a bit.
Did you rewatch the movie lately?
No, I saw it last Halloween in a theater. That was the last time I watched it.
You're that guy.
Yeah. And I saw it the first time. The Exorcist is like a really kind of important movie for me because the first time I saw it, I think I was 17 when it was re-released in theaters 2000, the director's cut, which is actually not the director's cut. It's actually the writer's cut because the director like cut out a bunch of scenes. And then the 2000 version was Blatty, the author of the novel, like putting those scenes back in the movie. Plus, they couldn't do the spider walk scene because of special effects. They couldn't get rid of the wires back in 73. But I saw that movie back when I was a teenager. And when that movie was released, they were building up like, you know, the ultimate horror movie. So scary. Right. And then everybody laughed at it in the theater because, you know, it was
special effects were so bad at that point.
Well, yeah, but it's just the movie came out in 73. You know, horror has changed a lot. Like The Exorcist has been kind of like a joke since then. You know, the whole demon possession thing. If you've seen Scary Movie 2, they open up with like redoing that scene. Like, it's just been done so many times before and been parodied so many times before that everybody now is just kind of like, yeah, whatever. But back in 73, dude, melted people's minds. Like people were throwing up in the theaters.
It was insane.
Yeah. So when it got re-released, like, it got kind of a mixed reaction from the younger audience. But for me, I watched it and I was like, okay, I understood it on a very superficial teenager level. I was like, okay, scary movie, girl gets possessed, throws up, like head turns around, like all that crazy stuff. Cool. Well, you know, like that was cool. And then I've kind of went back and rewatched it throughout periods of my life, you know, every like 5 or 10 years or so. And each time I watch it, like I understand the story more and more. It's not about the girl. It's about the priest, Father Karras, mm-hmm. and like his, you know, he's been trained in psychology and it's about him. It's a conflict of faith that he's having. And that is playing out in a physical form with the girl. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like where you see it manifested physically. And, you know, the movie, of course, the climax of it is where he takes the demon into him and then jumps off. And that's actually an act of a belief on his part, because up until, especially in the book, this all comes out more, up until the very end, you know, he's still like debating, you know, oh, there's logical explanations for this. There's a case in France where this happened. Like, this could be, you know, somnambulism, blah, 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 like all these different things. You know, he's trying to science it away.
It's literally a leap of faith, mm-hmm. that he said.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, watching the movie, like, over and over again throughout the years, I kind of understood it more. And especially now reading the book, like I really feel like I got a big hold on it. And it's just it's probably the best example of a movie that I have where nothing changed about the movie,
right.
Same movie.
Right.
My perspective and my understanding grew so much. I'm looking at it so many different angles now, and my appreciation of it is so much higher.
That's why Kentucky Route Zero next week is going to be fantastic, dude. That's what I'm saying. You can never step into the same river twice because you're not the same man and it's not the same river.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. So, for me, the last book I listened to, did you have something else?
No, go ahead.
Was Tribe. I listened to that last year. It's a guy's, he's basically talking about, it's a nonfiction. He's talking about the reason for a lot of PTSD and depression is basically because we have gotten away from hanging out in groups and doing difficult things together. And that's what you need. That's what human psychology needs in order to function normally, because we've done it our entire history, except for this last. It's always the way it's described to me. Like I think it was astrophysicist, like civilization. If you were to have a book that was 200 pages long, civilization would be the last paragraph on the last page, like that, and the rest of it would all be, you know, fucking a lot of it be us being in the wild and all that stuff, pre-agriculture and all that stuff. So most of our history is there and we're wired for that shit. And mm-hmm. so he's saying the reason that there's PTSD is because you are in, when you're in the military, you are in a small group and you are getting difficult things done, and your brain's fucking wired for that shit and it's digging it. And then once you get out, you don't have that anymore. And that's why soldiers kill themselves so much, because you're losing that part of it. Mm-hmm. And this is why, like, small villages, people in small villages are just happier in general than people in civilized society. Because the more money you have in the United States, the further you get away from everybody else. The bigger house you have, the bigger yard you get, you're just spreading yourself away from other people. Maybe your family stays together, but even that starts to fracture once you start putting money in mm-hmm. the thing. But anyway, it's a really good book, and it's helped a lot of people as well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's an audio book that you're listening to?
That was an audio book that I listened to last year, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't read no more.
Yeah, dude, some things don't work on audiobooks. There's one that that kind of touched on a similar subject of that. It talks a little bit about that, but it's mainly dealing with like depression and how we try to medicate it. But it talks a lot about how, you know, humanity is kind of wired for this tribalism, and we're meant to be in groups and, you know, interacting with each other and also nature.
Yeah.
This is like a small part of the book, but it kind of has to do with what you're talking about.
Also, Sapiens, fucking amazing book. Probably one of the best books I've read probably in the last 10 years. Sapiens is fantastic. They should just get rid of social studies or whatever that's called. What's that called? Like, what's the study of man in high school now? Is there any of that? Anyway, they should get rid of it and just read that book. You just read that book and you have everything you need to know about human history. It's fantastic.
Hmm. All right. Let's see. New follower, LR de Bajorn.
That's Nick's wife.
Oh, okay.
And she has a little Nick on the way. Or it's a little lady, actually. It's another little Leslie.
Hmm. Thoughts on the incoming final DLC for Binding of Isaac?
I'm tentatively excited. I mean, I know it's going to be good. Every DLC has been good. But it's like, if I start focusing on it, then I'm going to start waiting for it. And then I'm going to wait too long for it. So it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind right now. I know it's coming. And I know it's going to be good. And I don't even know what the release date is. So I don't look into it because I don't want to think about it. But if you don't know, this guy came out with this incredible mod, like better than most of the DLCs for Binding of Isaac, like not as good as Rebirth, but probably better than After the Birth Plus. Like it did all kinds of crazy shit. And Edmund was like, we didn't even know we could do this with the code. He was doing things that they had never even thought of. And it was really impressive to him. So they hired the guy and now they're working on this other DLC. He was done with Binding of Isaac, but this mod creator single-handedly made him decide to come up with another DLC. So that guy's DLC plus Edmund's input, it's going to make a whole new giant DLC. So it's great.
They got a release date on that or any idea?
I don't have an idea. I don't think they've, last time I looked into it, they didn't have an official one.
Mm. All right.
Butthrax, fuck you for making me say your name, dude. But it was Tribe. I believe that's what it's called. Yeah, the guy's been on Rogan a few times. September 1st. Now I know. And now I have to start waiting. Thank you very much, Lazy Leslie.
September 1st. That's not too far away.
It's not too far away.
A couple months.
Yeah. It's disgusting how much time. Like, Sam plays it when the baby's asleep upstairs just because it's so easy. Yeah, okay. And I play it when the baby's sleep. Like when I'm babysitting, I'm playing that. The baby's growing up with Binding of Isaac, basically. She's going to have a corrupt little mind.
Yikes. All right. Well, that is the end of the show here. What are we playing next week?
Should we have the... what am I playing? I have no idea. I kind of like that I'm working on my backlog, man. You know, I say this a lot. I'll play something in early access and I'll be like, oh, check up on this in 6 months. To see where it's at. Mm-hmm. Then I never do. Yeah. So maybe some of those.
It's just a constant flow of games coming in. It's so hard to go back.
Yeah.
Remember what those games are in the first place.
And I don't see any really big things that I'm excited for right away. So yeah, looking back is probably a good thing right now. I can't say what, but I think I'm going to try to finish Doom this week and yeah, probably play some other thing.
Okay. There was a demo that Ray had uploaded on our Google Drive a while ago called Ring of Pain. And I was cleaning out the drive today and I stumbled across that and I thought, oh yeah, that looked pretty good. It was it's a roguelike card game. And I don't know, from the screenshots, I really can't tell a whole lot of what's happening here, but
looks pretty.
Yeah. It looks good. It's not available on Steam right now, but they do have a demo out where you can check it out, but I might check that out. And I'm sure there will be something else.
Question for you, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
When I was playing Doom, there is some crazy frog creature thing that it doesn't attack you. It's just like this static statue. The first time I saw it, it was hanging from a chain. And you look down and it looks like they had caught this frog. It looks like a cartoon inside of regular Doom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck is that? So I shot it a bunch and didn't do anything. I was like, that is so weird. Maybe they just kind of make a joke. So then later in that same, maybe 15 minutes later, I found another one on a wall and I punched through it and there was a secret behind it. It was just this weird frog thing. Do you know what the fuck it is? It doesn't look like it fits in the game. It looks like a cartoon frog, almost like a Pepe.
Wait, is this it right here?
Yeah, that thing.
No, I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, so there's two of those. Although I've found two. I found that one. He looks like Slimer from Ghostbusters, actually. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck it is.
Looks like it's some sort of Easter egg.
Yeah,
some sort of reference to something else.
I couldn't interact with the first one, and the second one, I punched it.
I think it's a fish they're saying here.
Yeah, there's another one, though, that's in a wall.
Dope fish from Commander Keen?
Oh, I don't know, man. Oh, we're going down a rabbit hole.
Commander Keen, dope fish. Let's see. But Commander Keen was so pixelated. Oh, okay. Commander Keen 4. Yeah. Oh, it's an Easter egg.
Okay. It was just weird. It seemed out of place. Like, it wasn't that hard to find. It just looked over the cliff and it was right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. There's a lot of Easter eggs in that game.
Yeah. It's funny because it's such a serious fucking gory thing, and then you see something like that, but a lot of those things. That's just kind of cool.
Eternal has a few things like that, though. Like, have you explored the Slayer's room in the Citadel?
No.
Okay. He's got. I'll bring a picture of.
Is it the one where, like, there's armor on a thing and it looks like he's tinkering with stuff? That's at the very bottom. Is that the one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on the wall, there's, like, pictures and...
Yeah, there's posters all over the place.
Yeah, and then the guitars.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You didn't see the guitars? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe I haven't unlocked that stuff yet. I feel like...
You should be able to access it. Yeah, they're just hanging on the wall right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They look pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one that looks like your Doom 3, just metal guitar. One that looks like it's, like, made of flesh, all flesh and bone. And the other one in the middle that looks like it's... I don't know, a glowing neon.
That was pretty badass. You
know? Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of little things just around the Citadel like that. And that's one thing that they advertised about Doom Eternal when it was coming out. They said, like, we aren't going to give you a straight-up story for the Doom Slayer, although they do kind of do. I don't want to spoil it for you, but they do kind of explain his origins. But there's going to be, you're going to walk around his living area, and you'll get to know more about him through that.
That's cool. And I think that's it. You ready to try a Mexican?
Let's do it.
All right, but you grab that while I talk a little bit about it. So this is a Tijuana staple. It's not a candy, Bobby. It's kind of like a snack, I guess, and kind of like a meal too. It is huge in Tijuana. You can buy it on any corner. It's called a Tosti Loco. So basically, it's Tostitos. It was made in the 90s. And they started with Doritos. You open a bag of Doritos and you just dump all kinds of crazy shit on top of it until, like, just as much as crazy shit as you can. So that's why it's a toasty, like, that's the chip part of it. And then, yeah. So there's crazy shit in there. I don't want to say what they are. It's really good, Bobby. I'm not trolling you here. But I'm curious to see what you think of the flavor. Is there a fork?
I think there is a fork in there. There's a napkin. Need a fork. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it looks good. It looks like I'm going to need a few bites to really taste all the different things in here.
Oh, for sure. There's like tons of different ingredients. I'm not going to eat mine. I'll wait too. But Sam's like, you should get a Tosti Loco for him. I was like, yeah, totally. I was like, get one for me too. Because you can't really buy them here. Apparently you can. We bought one. But I totally thought it was just a Mexico thing. Apparently, like, 3 or 4 places sell them in our area, but we're surrounded by Mexicans. Okay. So, yeah, I don't want to give the ingredients away yet.
Well, it looks like it's got garbanzo beans.
They're not garbanzo beans. So, it's kind of like nachos, but it's not a warm thing. It's something that's served cold.
Mm-hmm. It's, what do they call those Mexican... restaurants they got where they serve like all the fruit?
Yeah, that's where you get these, like
okay,
just like the fresh fruit places, the smoothie spots.
Yeah,
they make smoothies and stuff. That's where you would buy one of these, or just a street stand. That just, and now I know you would eat dog, so the thing you just ate was it's pigskin. It's unfried, you know, when you have a chicharron.
Mm-hmm.
That's an uncooked chicharron that you're eating, the white things. I love them personally. I've actually just ordered those straight up just like that because I love them so much.
Really?
Yeah.
They look...
Looks like a noodle. Like,
yeah, it looks like onions almost at first.
Yeah. But that's actually pigskin. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, so the things that you said, garbanzo beans, those are actually Japanese peanuts. It's a peanut like with a, not a candy shell, but like a salty shell. Mm-hmm. I love them. There's something called chacachacas. There's something called chamoy. Chamoy is the flavor, the salsa on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got one of those like really densely, like get one of those red things right on top, Bobby? It looks like a little bean, a red bean. Yeah, that thing. I love those. That's called the chacachaca. I don't know. It's just all kinds of crazy shit. It's literally crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now you start talking. After you start, finish. He just loaded himself a big ass chip.
So it's, hand me one of those napkins. It's kind of confusing, like all these things you're feeding me, because it's like it's a mixture of things that you wouldn't really expect to go together. Like as I eat it, I'm like, oh, this is kind of like a fruit salad, but then it's also got like meat in it and chips. So it's kind of, I don't know.
It's closest to a fruit salad, I guess.
Yeah, it is. You know, it has kind of like that refreshing, you know, I'm out in the sun hanging out kind of thing to it. But then it's also like, I don't know. It's also got some like some meat to it. Like it's a big meal, but it is good.
Yeah, it's fucking really good. I love these, man. And there's different variations on it. There's tostilotes. There's Dorilotos, made for Doritos. But I didn't talk about the fruits. So there's cucumber. What can you identify there, Bobby? Everybody makes
this is different. Cucumber, right?
Yeah, cucumber. There's probably some sort of melon in there. Sometimes they make it with mango.
Mm-hmm.
But you're getting all kinds of different flavors. But you're also getting tons of different textures. You're getting crunchy, slimy, somewhere in between. You're getting those chacachacas when you. It's almost like a gum when you chew it. That eat that by itself. It's kind of like squishy. I don't know.
That tastes a little like the other candy too.
Yeah, that has I forget what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not cooked. The pork is cooked in lemon juice, so it's raw, but it's cooked. Does that make any sense? The acid cooks it,
mm-hmm.
So that's why it's safe.
Yeah. I don't know. See, I'm not a big fan of chicharrón.
Yeah.
So I think that's my least favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for that, then yeah, I'd say this is really good.
A lot of people order without that part. Sam doesn't like those either. But not because they don't taste good, because she can't get over the pigskin part of it. But I love them, personally. Glad you liked it, man.
Yeah. No, it was good.
It was one of my favorite things.
Yeah. If I were to get this again, then I'd definitely do it without the chicharrón. But...
So that's $8. That's what but here over there, you can get that for like $3.
Yeah. That makes about like a little sense. This is like a full meal.
Yeah, for sure.
So where can you get it out here though? Like, those trucks,
we got it through DoorDash, dude. They delivered it. It was awesome. So just look it up and order some, get one for you and your girlfriend, have a party.
Although I would like to like get one of the real ones down in Mexico though.
Yeah. Oh, well,
is there a big difference?
No, they're smaller. Definitely. This is like a full meal. Usually it's like, you know, the small bag of chips. That's all you get. They cut one of those open, and sometimes they just serve it right in the bag. They put all that stuff right on
top
of the bag.
That's probably a better size, because this is a lot.
That is a lot.
There's no way I can eat all this.
Yeah, I can definitely eat all this. All right. I'm glad you like it, man. What's the hot sauce that he sells? Oh, let's do some reads. We're at the end of the day. If you made it this far, you like us. Insidious.com. That's my hot sauce. Nick's had it. I think he likes it. I think his wife is. I don't know if. Leslie, do you like hot stuff? Are you still around? It is my hot sauce made out of oils and seeds. That's pretty much it. There's 6 different seeds in there. Olive oil. It's a real unique thing. The closest thing I could call it was a hot sauce. It has a smoky, spicy flavor, but also gives crunch. So I like to put it on soft things and get more texture out of them. So you put it on eggs or breads or rice. It's phenomenal. I love it so much. You can get that at insidious.com if you use the promo code DLG. You get 10% off your entire order. The shipping is not where I would like it to. I'm still working on trying to get the prices down, but we're working on getting the price down on the shipping. But what else? Oh, and Gorilla Mind Did I answer your question? Let's see. It's definitely good. It's a lot like Asian style chili sauce. That's the closest thing. Yeah. The chili sauce that if you go to a Chinese place and they have that oil that you serve yourself with a spoon, that's the closest thing, except for that doesn't have all the seeds in there. You get a little more fattiness, a little more crunch out of our version of it. And we use different chili seeds, so it's a different flavor. But that's the closest thing, if you're wondering what it's like. Yeah, lots of interesting textures. My friends love it, too. It's really good. The only reason it's not fucking giant right now is because we haven't put enough work into it. That's basically what's going on. Oh, that and the COVID thing. Our other sponsor that we use from time to time is Gorilla Mind. They reached out to us and about promoting, and they do it with a lot of people because they actually, their payout's pretty good. And we tried it, and Bobby liked it. He was using it for a while. Mm-hmm. Are you still using it, Bobby?
Not during, because I haven't been working out the same.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's basically like an accelerant, I guess, to break it down.
It's a cognitive
enhancer.
I'm moving the mic closer now that I'm not chewing into it, but it's a cognitive supplement. So yeah, it can help you with studying, gaming, or working out. If you're going to use it for working out, then yeah, maybe try the Rush. But Rush. Other than that, man, like I would recommend the Smooth because yeah, the Rush is a little too intense.
Yeah. And, you know, start off with one pill, and then work your way up, see where you like it. Cause these things they definitely work. They do what they say they do. Mm-hmm. And you can get that, go to dlgaming.net and just click on the link and you can buy it from there. I think that's it. Speaking for Bobby, myself, and Tijuana Titties, Tosi Locos, everybody. Bye. I prefer fire. Thanks, Recycle. Glad you guys hung out this time, all the way to the end. Bye-bye.